Welcome back, guys, to my podcast, Tea with Tay, Talk Mental Health with Tay. Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed the last podcast with Sean and Jeanne. They really enjoyed doing it, and we've had some really good feedback from everyone. So thank you guys so much. Guys, please come with negative feedback as well, because I can take harsh criticism. Like, don't think just because I'm talking about mental health, I can't take harsh criticism. Please believe I can. So if you want to come with that negative, that's fine. So today we're doing about Christianity and mental health. And I have a special guest, someone I spoke about in the last two podcasts. Man like Andrew. Welcome to the podcast, Andrew.
Thank you.
Why is everyone shy at the start? Okay.
So, I'm excited to be here.
Good.
You're
good.
Here.
Yeah.
In my house again.
In the house. Yeah, guys, I haven't been here since January. I moved out.
She's back.
When did I move out? It's been over a year now, hasn't it?
Ages ago.
Yeah, I think over too a year now. Too long ago, guys. He wants me to move back.
There's still room. You can make room, even if there's not room. We'll
no, room. Because, yeah, so actually, before we get into it, we'll have a background of me and Andrew, because I feel like the stories are real. Like, it's just so dramatic. Like, you wouldn't even be I feel like people wouldn't believe him. So, yeah, Andrew, you can tell them a story about me if you want any story. Of us living together. I mean, it doesn't have to be of us living together, because I used to live in halls and Andrew, I'd see Andrew then. So,
I know there's so many.
So many interesting stories. Like, I feel like I feel like that annoying little sister, or that annoying kid that is just like constantly following you around in the shop. That's me. That was me for the 3 years.
I'm sure I remember a time leaving the house, and you were, I don't know if you're supposed to be revising or what, but you decided you wanted to revise in my room. I remember going out, whether I went to work or uni, or I don't know where I went. But I remember coming back home, and this was a couple hours later as well. You were in the exact same spot in my room, just hadn't left. I'm just like, you're still here. Didn't want to go and get food?
No, Andrew's room might as well have been my room. Like, that's how seriously it was. Because, Andrew.
To be fair, even those first months back, like, of you leaving, it was weird not, like, hearing the door and someone not immediately coming up to
the room.
Because I was just waiting, just ready.
Yeah.
For those footsteps.
And guys, I was so fit then, because them stairs to get up to Andrew's room, like, I've literally just had to catch my breath because I haven't been up them stairs in so long. But so that's the backstory on Andrew. Like, we knew each other in Birmingham, but we didn't know each other. Like, we worked together at Tesco, but we didn't speak to each other. And then we just found each other. Wow, Andrew found me. When?
It's not as creepy as it sounds.
Yeah, it's not as creepy as it sounds. He found me. When we'd first moved to uni, and then it's just history from there, basically. And here we are doing a podcast. And we're going to have a movie night. We're going to watch I think it's When They See Us, is that what it's called? Have you seen the show? You haven't seen the
trailer? I haven't seen the trailer, no.
But yeah, so it's a true story. I won't go into it because I think it's a bit heavy for the podcast at the moment. But I will let you know my review of that on Twitter, guys, when we've watched it. But yeah, so this podcast is about Christianity and mental health, but it's not like, don't need to feel like we've come here to preach to you guys, because trust me, the last thing I like to want to hear is people preaching to me. It's more just like how I dealt with, when I first had I just say a mental breakdown, and then Andrew, obviously, is from church background, went to Christian Union at uni, goes to church and helped me and his advice to me. So what I decided to do for this podcast that I thought would be interesting is I read up on a book that advises churches how to deal with people that have mental health issues, and just kind of wanted to get Andrew's input and what he thinks about it, basically. His opinion on it, basically, and just how he dealt with me. So I think this is more of a session for people who are just struggling to deal with people like me, basically. Andrew's not speaking for the whole of every church in Europe or the world. Okay, he's just speaking on himself. Yeah, like I read something in the book, and it says, and I think it just will sum this up, that basically the church is not called to become a community of psychiatrists. It's called to become a community of persistent patient love, and that's just moral of the story, basically. So, and if you hear something keep flipping, it's because I've got this piece of paper in front of me with the notes. So, yeah, that's what it is, the sound. So, you ready, Andrew?
I'm ready.
Bum, 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 bum. So, I just want to give you a brief description on the book that I was reading up on. It's called Mental Health, the Inclusive Church Resource. And what's it called on the back of the book? Is it called The Blurb? I feel like I haven't heard that for a while, but yeah. So basically, it's written to help your own church to be equipped to welcome all people who live with mental health issues. It contains first-hand personal experiences of people who have felt excluded from churches because of their mental health. So, yeah, basically that's what it says. On the back of the book, that's what it says. And I've given Andrew the book, because I just think it'll be better for Andrew than me. But I did enjoy it. I did think it was a good read. So that's the book. I got it from St. Paul's Cathedral, but you can get it on Amazon. So basically, the Inclusive Church, it was formed in 2003. And what they do, that they want a church that does not discriminate on any level on grounds of economic power, gender, mental health, physical ability, race or sexuality. So basically, I feel like that's what everyone wants in everyday life. So that's why the book is good, because it's just relevant. Like, that's what everybody wants, just equality. Okay, so basically, background story, guys. When I first started uni, I just kind of had a bad vibe of the church, and I just was like, nah, it's not for me. Don't want to know about it, because my friend had passed away when she was 15. No, when she was 16. So, was she 16? 16. And I was 15, and I was like, nah, don't want to know about the church. Not interested. That's it. Don't talk to me about it. Then I met Andrew, who goes to Christian Union and goes to church, and it just kind of flipped there. So, what did you think when I was saying I don't support church, basically? I mean, I wouldn't say that's what I said, but that was kind of the vibe that I was giving off.
And it's a, because I think everyone has different experiences of church, and especially when like something difficult happens, when it comes to a question of faith, it can be very difficult.
Yeah.
To then come to terms with that, but, I mean, I always knew my experience of churches were very good. I always had a good time. People were very loving.
Yeah.
And not every church gets it perfect. No church gets it perfect. So yeah, and I remember hearing a bit about your experiences and stuff like that. So I thought, you know what, I just want you to, you know, see what it's like.
Yeah.
Not necessarily from my point of view, but also get across that, you know what, the church isn't here to hate on you because you've got a certain opinion or anything, but we want to love you, we want to make you feel welcome and comfortable.
Yeah. Well, I still feel like that's what I ended up learning, was that even though I wouldn't class myself as religious, or, I mean, I don't go to church now, but I learned that, first of all, not all churches are the same, so church people I'd originally been around, it was a negative experience, but then I'd learned that actually there are a lot of Christians that love people that aren't Christians, if that makes sense. Like, just because I don't go to church doesn't mean that I can't hang around with people that are Christians or go to have them beliefs. Mm. They still love me the same way. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
And I think I remember, like, there's a few conversations you used to have, and you used to think that, like, Christian people are kind of either stuck up or boring or, you know.
I mean, is that what I said? I mean,
there might have been something in it. There might have been a certain like that in it, but.
Listen, guys, first of all, can I just say that I was, like, 18 at these times, and I'm 22 now, I'm going to be 23, this isn't my vibe now.
I had to show you that we can have fun.
Yeah. It was more, I think, I used to think people in church were old people. Mm. That's what it was. That's what it was. Before I start offending everybody. That's what it was. So, basically, Andrew persuaded me. We didn't persuade. He asked me to come to some Christian Union events. And I was like, okay, I'll go to the events because it's not about church. It's just about socialising. So I went to open mic night, quiz night. I think it was something else as well, but I can't remember what it was now.
Might have been a play.
Yeah, it was an Easter play, which was really good, actually. That was first year. And then second year, I think, I'm sure I went to quiz night again. There was something else. And we used to, and the, oh, what was it? At Christmas, the carols, Christmas carols. That was good.
Anglican Cathedral.
That was fun. So then third year, I didn't go regularly, but I did go to a few of the Christian Union, link ups at uni. Not link ups, but it was like, kind of like, they would meet up on Tuesday evenings. Mm. So I'll go to that. And basically, this is what I learned. Thanks to Andrew. And let me get my piece of paper so you can't read it. Can't read it down already. So basically, I learned that the primary, and my words were so like, guys, you can tell I went to uni when I read this out. Watch. So the primary gift that the church has to offer is the creation of a graceful space for meeting within which the possibility of listening, understanding, friendship, belonging, and tenderness becomes real. And that was what I learned, guys. So, for everyone that just got offended when I said church people are boring, that's how I feel now, so don't come for me. Please don't come for me. That's what I've learned. So, thanks, Andrew, for that. Basically. Man, like Andrew, just getting picked up in every single podcast.
Trying to get me emotional.
So that's why, you know, there's some big words actually. Like, I should have put them in some of my my essays. I probably would have done better first or second year. Okay, we've gone a bit off on a tangent now. Sorry, guys. Let's get back to the book. In the introduction of the book, they state that although statistics tell us that 1 in 4 people will experience mental health in their lifetime, the real figure is likely to be much higher. And this is because any statistics that you see on mental health, well, majority, not all, will be based on people that have been to their GP, received a diagnosis, like that are confident to come out about it. Whereas like, actually, like a lot of people suffer in silence, so we don't really know the real figures. And that's what we need to, is key to remember. And I just thought that was good that they said that in the book. And this woman that has written in the book, guys, she says that, so basically when we say 1 in 4, we're not talking about anonymous statistics, but it's members of our own congregations and clergy. Is that how you actually pronounce it? Clergy, our families and neighbours, our friends and colleagues. So I didn't know what clergy meant before I read the book, and I know now because I asked Andrew before, but Andrew, for people that don't know what this word means, clergy, what does it mean, please?
Just people that are work in the church, that are ordained, so like, you know, your pastors, your priests, bishops, those people.
Also, fun fact, guys, Andrew will be ordained one day. Is that right? Please tell me I've just said that right.
Hopefully.
So, just, you heard it here first. And I just think that's a good point to make. Like, it's literally anybody could have mental health issues. Like, you could go to the doctors and they could be suffering with mental health issues as well. Like, it's not, just because someone looks okay or looks like they're in a good position doesn't mean that they're okay. Basically. Boom. So just drop the mic now. So just turn it off. I've made my point. Before I say this next bit, this is not an attack on the church, and the book, it wasn't coming across like that. I've just taken out bits from the book that I thought was interesting. So, I mean, interpret it how you want, but I'm just saying this is not an attack on the church. So basically the book was saying that the church has a history of pioneering in health and social care, and it's definitely time for the church to step up to the challenge of working in the area of mental health. So, Angie, what do you think?
I think that's true in terms of stepping up. Like I was saying, that I think mental health is becoming a bigger topic these days, and like in just society and culture. That we're seeing it and we're more aware of it as well. So I think even in churches that I've seen as well, especially like the church I go to in Liverpool, it's becoming a bigger topic, you know, as a social kind of conversations change and seeing what we see as and big and is important. I think we're seeing that happen in the church as well, which is good. It's not like...
I don't think it was never spoke about. I think just because it's a bigger... It is becoming a bigger conversation now, like you've just said. The church can do more because there's more they know about it now, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like, times have changed. Yeah, the understanding of it. Like, I don't... Like I've said... Did I say it in my... I think it was the last podcast, like I said... I can't remember. Anyway, so I have said it before. I didn't know really about mental health issues, like, for a long time. Mm. So, obviously, I would have assumed grown people would know about it, but they might not know that, they might only know a stigma of it, like what other people have told them, and not know how to like help people with them issues. Like a lot of the time we get, the stigma is kind of like, oh, these people are different, let's stay away from them kind of thing. Or oh, we haven't been told how to help these people, so we don't know what to do. Whereas like, that's why I thought this book was good, because they want to to help the church and even just other people. Like, that's why I picked it up. Just to help people with mental health issues.
I think as well, because like me personally, I didn't know anyone, like, or I didn't realize I might have knew anyone.
Yeah.
That you know, was suffering with that mental health and experienced that until I met you.
Yeah. Guy like Tay, kind of feel like, hey, I'm gonna come mess up your life, shake it up a little bit. Yeah.
I wouldn't say mess it up. It didn't do too bad, but no, and then. So there's my fiance as well. I mean, I met her after a few years in uni. Yeah. And then there's her as well, who's also had the mental health issues and stuff like that. And so it's not something I ever encountered personally. I didn't understand it. And it's...
Yeah.
I didn't know what that meant. Yeah, it's not something that I think I ever had myself. So it was like, well, just something I didn't come across in daily life. And then, but then, you know, coming to uni... You hear more about it, you see more people that are going through these things that suffer from various different kind of mental health issues. And it becomes a bigger topic. It becomes something that you become more aware of.
Yeah.
And even the advice is changing as well, like, as time goes on. So I think, and it's getting better.
I agree. Yeah. Like, I think that even, like, say, not being religious, like, I've still got, like, my friend got me a Bible. And I just think that it gives good guidance anyway, even for people with struggling with mental health. Like I was struggling, like say, with forgiveness, which really I wouldn't say was to do with mental health, but it did help positively in the end with that. But I went to the Bible for advice, even though it weren't like I was. Do you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
what I'm trying to say. Like I went to the Bible for the teaching of it. And I actually picked, like, I really liked what it had to say, and I just took that advice, even though I wouldn't be like, yeah, God, what are you saying, like, about forgiveness? What are you saying about forgiveness? What do you have to say about it? Kind of thing. Wait, I've lost my track of thought now. So, yeah, also, so that goes back to what they said in the book before about 1 in 4 people is, like, yeah, also people in the church deal with depression. Or not just depression, any mental health illness. So it is good how this book's saying that the church can step up. But like I just said, don't want to attack the church. It's everyone needs to step up. Obviously, this we're just basing it around Christianity at the moment, because I don't know about any other religions, to be honest with you guys. Like, I really don't know about any others, because I've been brought up around Christianity. So that's why I wanted to focus on that. And how it's helped me through uni as well. This is a positive, actually. So, research undertaken by the Time to Change campaign, who, guys, if you don't know who they are, they're mental health campaigners. trying to decrease the stigma in mental health, you should look them up online. Like when I first decided to look into mental health awareness, that was my first point of call, and it's really just helped with a lot of advice. So yeah, that's a little side note. So yeah, so research undertaken by the Time to Change campaign has found that faith communities, for the most part, do an excellent job of welcoming and supporting people with mental illness. So, yeah. So basically, they've just said what we've said. Mm. So that backs it. So even research is saying it, guys. Research is saying it. Yeah, okay. So part two of the book. I'm not going to say the names because I don't know how to pronounce them. And I don't want to, like, say it wrong in case any of my listeners have got similar names. So we'll just keep it moving. But basically, two people in this book were helping to reflect the theologically... Is that right, Angie?
Yeah.
Is that theologically. Right? Theologically. On mental health issues. And I don't know what theologically means. Do you know what it means?
I did.
It did a top point by the spot.
Like the deep study.
Why yeah, deeper study. Like, pretend. Deeper study yeah. into it, yeah. Yeah, so they basically reflected on that in the book, and also, and then tried to link it to the Bible. So, like I've just said, that when I was looking into forgiveness, I looked in the Bible. So I just think like that kind of reiterates, is that the word? Mm-hmm. What I've said. So what in the book, what they've said is, some people feel a lot of guilt for causing distress to others. Now, if you know, if I didn't say sorry in the last few years, I apologise now. But did I ever apologise for being a bit cray cray the last few years? Awkward silence.
I mean, to me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So. That this is that is just to show an example. That's all. So why I'm saying that is because I felt guilty. Like I said in my first podcast, when I had my first breakdown was on Andrew's birthday, guys. Like it was on his 21st birthday, and he'd come home from Birmingham, and I was just like, Andrew, I'm dropping out of uni. I'm dropping out of uni. Oh, I felt so bad about it. Actually, when I proper thought about it, that was really like selfish. So yeah, but basically, so what this verse in the Bible says is nothing can ever separate us from God's love. And that can be found in Romans chapter 8 verse 39, and it's because, so it might be that we do unintentionally or intentionally sometimes like cause distress to other people. That's just sometimes it happens. But yeah, like apostle Paul has said in the Bible, nothing can ever separate us from God's love. And I just think that's so nice. So like I just think it's reassuring from, say, like a religious point of view. Or for example, if I annoy my mum so much, she's always going to love me. She might dislike me for a little bit, but she's always going to love me because I'm her child, if that makes sense. That's how I would, how I would take that. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think of that verse? I think that's really nice.
I definitely. And reassuring. Sometimes we feel like, yeah, you do so much horrible things to people, to yourself. Yeah. Like, I know I've been in some pretty low places as well. I feel like, yeah. Oh, there's nothing I could do to get out. So like hearing that verse is very reoccurring,
yeah.
Encouraging to say nothing separates me from God's love.
Yeah.
And sometimes, yeah, the people around you might not seem to love you, but at least God does.
At least God does. And I just think as well, that can be like, you can take it out of a mental health context. It could be like, say, if you do drop out of uni and you feel like people are going to judge you for it and stuff like this. Wow, God said he's always going to love you. So, and Jesus forgives you for it. So, if you want to jump out of uni, you know, somebody loves you. That's what I like, that it's true. Somebody will always you are, even if it's one person, you're always loved. So I hope you like that, guys, because I really did. Yeah, and just to expand on that, the task of the church is to embody that love so that those who are broken can feel such love. And Jesus calls us to engage in persistent love. And that is what I got from Christian Union and Andrew. But let's not make him get a big head now. But that is what I got. So, yeah, like, that is so true. Like, I'm just riding out for you guys. Yeah. So yeah. I just thought that was really, like, persistent love is the key.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah. So, like, even with my fiance, as I mentioned earlier,
yeah.
Like, there's that whole thing where, you know, you feel so alone sometimes, you feel, especially when it comes to that mental health,
yeah.
Especially when no one can truly understand or you can't express what you're feeling,
yeah.
Or, like, what you're thinking, and having that kind of community, I mean, whether that be in the church or, I mean, there are other faiths as well,
yeah,
which
yeah.
do that so well, do big them up as well,
hey.
But like, you're having that kind of community where you can truly feel that love and feel welcome as well.
Yeah.
I think it makes a big difference because sometimes it's hard to go to your family as well.
Yeah, it's true.
But, you know, having those people there that are willing to listen and yeah. care or even just feed you sometimes.
You know? Guys, when I say Andrew, one time, I called Andrew crying. Yeah, I'm sure you can remember it because it was very traumatic.
This is when I was in my lecture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I called Andrew and I was crying and I was like, I'm laughing about it now, but he was like, hysterically crying, it was really bad, and Andrew's like, okay, I'm coming home. Like, he came home, bought ice cream, we got Freddy's, like, takeout, we just watched Skins. Like, it was such a good vibe. So I was just saying, from him saying, sometimes people will just get you food and then make you feel bad, and it's true, guys, it's true. That's what he did that time. But yeah, just having people that will listen, and a community, that's a good word, that's like a key word. I think that's an important way to look at it. Having that community around you that will listen. Am I like Andrew? Community that I listen, I like that. Yeah, so what do you think about, sorry to put you on the spot again, do you feel like having a mental illness or someone having a mental illness, it is like they've got a label on them? I mean, to be fair, you're not judgy, so I don't feel like you would look at someone, I think, say, has got depression or bipolar, I think, oh, they've got bipolar, so I can't talk to them. Like, you're not that person, but do you feel like, as in society, that is a thing?
In society, I think, yes. Which I think, again, in kind of like how society and culture is moving,
you're
doing well to actually break those down. Because I think, especially, like, even before, like, back when I was in, like, secondary school, like, didn't understand anything about like, mental awareness, mental health or anything like that. There's a lot of things where you wouldn't call them someone who had like mental illness.
Yeah. You'd
be like, that's the weird kid that like,
you don't want.
Oh, like he's always sad and crying, like he's just too sensitive, overly sensitive, or just like crying for attention. Yeah. But like
that we're older.
Learn about it.
Yeah, you learn about it.
Then you get, there's still kind of some kind of stigma that seems to be around it, which is breaking down, which is good.
Yeah, it is breaking down.
And I think there are those labels still in society to say that, oh, this person has depression or so. So that's just the depressed person over there.
I think it is a hard one, I think, because sometimes, say like for us two, I feel like I wouldn't like look at, if someone tells me that they're depressed, then I wouldn't just think forever like, oh, that's that depressed person that I'm friends with. I would just think, oh, that's Bob. that I'm friends with. Like, that's it. But it's not, that isn't always the case. But you are right, the stigma is breaking down a bit. It is a bit breaking down. But yeah, so just to go off that, the reason why I asked Andrew that is because the book states that mental illness diagnosis is, I don't think that's a word, but we're going to just go with it anyway. Sorry guys, I've just had Pepsi and I can just feel it on my chest. So mental illness, you know what, we just got to keep it real here. Okay guys, gotta keep it real. Honesty is key. So yeah, mental illness diagnosis is, are sticky labels that don't just name what we have, but name what we are. The diagnosis is an I am label. Now, first of all, before we actually go into this, I want to just say for myself and other people that are raising awareness for mental health, because I have had people say to me things like, oh, well, how are you ever going to get over it if you keep talking about it? Or like, you are kind of labelling yourself, basically, by doing that. And I have to, this is what I have to say to you guys. That's a clap and the side, like, is that I'm not labeling myself. The whole reason I'm doing this is to get rid of a label and to help is to help other people that are struggling. It's not so, and it also helps us. Well, I'm saying us. I'm gonna just I'm speaking on all of us here, but me personally, it helps us to deal with it and to kind of not get over it, but to keep it moving. It keeps us busy, and like it's not. It's to stop the labeling and to kind of like make it a norm. Because it should be a norm. Like, if I had a cough or a cold, that's normal for me to have that, if that makes sense. Whereas, but you wouldn't label me. Well, to be fair, guys, I get really ill. So maybe not me. But someone else, someone's got a cough. Oh, that's the cough kid. Like, we can't talk to the cough kid because they've got a cough. And, you know, there's not a stigma around the cough. It's, yeah. I feel like I know what I'm saying. I don't know if it's coming across. But basically, you can still raise awareness for mental health and, like, deal with it at the same time.
Come on. Tell him.
I hope that made sense. If it didn't, just message me and, like, we can just have it out. So basically, stigma, for those of you that don't know, occurs when we name things wrongly. It's a negative. It's just a negative perception. So, like, for example, can you think of an example? It doesn't have to, this don't even have to be mental health related, like, just stigma, like, for anything. For Christianity. Christianity, a stigma. I feel like I was stigmaed. I used to stigma Christianity or not. Like you just said.
Like to say that everyone's Bible bashers and.
Yeah, okay, but there you go. That's a good example of what stigma is. When that's not the case, which I learned, guys, that's not the case. So stigma occurs when we name things wrongly. It creates a lonely and isolated world for people. And this is why the gesture of giving someone back their name is profoundly possible. And when I say their name, it's like, I am Taylor, not I am depressed Taylor, or I am, I don't know. Annoying Taylor, even though I can't be, but whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's my name, my government name. Don't be calling me I'm depressed Taylor because we can't be friends then. Okay, first of all. So the church, going off this verse in the Bible, the church has a task to give people back their names. So in John chapter 15, verses 14 to 17. Jesus renamed his followers in a deep and profound way and decided to call them his friends rather than his servants. Now that's deep. That is deep. Jesus sounds like my kind of guy. I think like that is just so nice. Like that could just be about anything, not even mental health. Like people that's just kind of like to say, start looking down on people. Really. That's how I would take that.
Definitely. I like, because, back in the Bible, like, in old Bible, like Old Testament, and New Testament too, but like, names had such a powerful meaning.
Yeah.
Back then as well, like, if you're going to name your child, you're not naming the child just any old name. Like, you're going to name a child that, like, name that means something. And because there was a lot of weight behind that and what it meant.
Yeah.
Some people might not do as much now, but, yeah, some might. And I think, like, what you call people, what you, like, you call yourself, what you identify as yourself can be a very powerful thing. So if someone just keeps calling you depressed, then, yeah, eventually you're gonna take on that label.
That's how you identify yourself, yeah. That's a really good way to explain it.
But it's like, I was saying, again, I keep coming back to my fiancé. She's wonderful. We do love her. but no, so for ages, it was, I remember having those talks with her. And even though I didn't fully understand what she was like going through, because it's very difficult for me to understand who's never, other than like experienced that. She would always come. She's like, I'm depressed. I'm this. I'm this. And like, I'm sad. Like, I'm just in this place. This is what I have to deal with now. I'm like, no, you're Beth, and like you have depression, but it's not what you want.
It's not what you want. Like, there's it's so just much how more you're feeling to you. Yeah, at the moment,
like, yeah. Because if we were going to do that, then I always like take it to the Bible. Like, you're blessed. You're highly favored. You're God's child. You're loved. As we saw earlier, you know, saying God's always loving us. So I was like, if you're gonna put labels on yourself, why don't you take some of those positive ones as well?
Yes, guys. Oh my God, to preach.
Yeah.
Take the positive labels. Yeah.
Because you know, you see people like Taylor is a bubbly and wonderful individual. She's not just someone who has to suffer with mental illness. And I think that's always something I would always try and encourage to you as well.
Yeah, it did.
And it was like, you know, because we want to see the positive. We want to get into a good mindset about yourself as well, not just like having to settle necessarily and being like, well, now I'm going to have to be like upset for the rest of my life. But, you know, working through that.
Yeah.
Instead of just labeling yourself negatively,
Andrew, come through with the words. That, you know what? Yeah, I feel like I can't even top that. That was so good what you just said. That, yeah, because once you get a negative, something gets a negative label, that's how you label yourself. Then it's not even just other people. If people keep saying like, oh, she's depressed, so like when. Oh, she's crazy, like, which, you know what, I used to even say it to myself. I used to be like, yeah, well, I'm crazy, so, yeah. But that's not good, actually, to be saying that, like, to even look at yourself like that. And so if other people are saying it, you're going to pick up on it and be like, oh, okay, that's how I am, so I'm just going to take it that. When that's not the case, guys, take the positives over the negatives, because for some reason we just seem to focus on what the negatives that people say to us rather than the positives. And no. My mum did not have me in her belly for 9 months for me to be focusing on the negatives. Okay. Yeah, but let me just not. I said we're not going to preach, so let's not preach. And to finish up, to round that up, I just want to say something in the Bible, and I think it's just a nice saying anyway. And it can be found in. Is it 2 Corinthians?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 10. And it is, in my weakness, I am strong. Jack Mike. Boom. Man like St. Paul. Boom. Yeah, and I just think that's just the best way to summarise it. Like, yeah, your mental illness might feel like a weakness, but you come out stronger through it. Like, for example, like I've used it to end up finding out what I want to do, or to push me towards my goals, kind of thing, rather than just living in my weakness, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, guys, like, do you reckon we've converted anybody?
If you want to talk more, just message me.
Yeah, I know, yeah, guys. No.
Always happy for chat.
But yeah, like I said at the start, even though it's about some Christian views, like, the whole reason I've done this is because I just, like, the Bible helped me, but I'm not religious. So, yeah, like, I feel like you don't have to be religious to read the Bible. Like, there's just some good lessons in there anyway. But, I mean, you don't have to read the Bible if you don't want to, guys, I'm just saying.
That's true. But, like, even, I mean, this is, it's relevant, not completely separate. But, like, a lot of faith communities these days, even if you're not going for kind of, faith or the kind of religious aspect, they still put on a lot of events or kind of help for people struggling with like mental health or I mean various other things, but like for mental health, as we're talking about, you know, they do provide help for that, so you know, you don't have to feel scared to or like kind of put off from going to them because they're a religious organization, so we say. But you know, they actually do have some really good resources, so even if you're just going for that, go for that at least, so you can get that.
No, they do, but, guys. this reunion really did help me, and I can't even believe it, because before I came to uni, I was like, never going to church again, and here I am, loving our Christian Union and missing it as well, and I went to the Christian Union ball, so, you know, things can change when you look at stuff from a different perspective. Yeah, have you got anything to say, Andrew? Apart from I'm the best.
Other than that, of course. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks.
Yeah. Talk mental health with Tay.
Boom. No, thanks for listening, guys. I hope that you like that. I feel like that was more of a rant. Like, that was more of the ranting, Tay. Like, I feel like you really got to see the other side. The ranting, the passionate. Yeah, no, guys, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope Andrew has enjoyed recording it. Yeah, thanks for taking it serious. I said to Andrew at the start, I was like, don't laugh at me, please. Don't laugh at me. Yeah, so no, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Hope you come back.
Me too.
I thought he was going to say no, but okay, yeah. Now, guys, I appreciate any feedback that you want to give me. The next podcast should, hopefully, if things go to plan, be on relationships and mental health. May have a special guest, may not, not sure yet. But trust me, that's going to be like the stories. You like, ain't even ready for the stories, okay? You like, not even ready. So that should be the next podcast. And then the one after that to finish off the series will be about surviving loss. That one will just be me doing that. For updates, if you follow me on Instagram or Twitter, TMH with Tay, Tango, Mango, Harvey with Tay. I know that wasn't the right phonetic alphabet, but we'll just go with the flow. Yeah, guys, thanks for listening. Have a lovely week.